What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
This weekend, you know about this. One giant step for space tourism as billionaire Richard Branson took a long-awaited test flight to space, taken alongside five of his Virgin Galactic Holdings employees. Our Ed Ludlow did talk with him right after the trip. You can catch that conversation at Bloomberg.com. Branson's trip to space bolstering Virgin Atlantic's plan to debut tourism trips next year. Christian Davenport is a reporter at the Washington Post. He covers NASA and the space industry. He's also author of The Space Barons, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the quest to colonize the cosmos. And Christian joins us on the phone in Washington, D.C. Christian, good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you've been covering this. You've been writing about it. It's been a long time coming. Tell us about your feelings seeing Richard Branson actually get into one of his ships and get out there into space.
Well, I mean, it was exciting, first and foremost. I was there. It was sort of a beautiful day in Spaceport America in the desert of New Mexico, where they've built this gleaming facility, this $220 million taxpayer-funded facility. And, you know, it was typical Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic with, like, you know, a band and a celebratory party atmosphere. It was really sort of almost like it was very festive, but on the same time, you're watching this and it's nerve-wracking and it's tense because you know there are human beings on board, and anytime you're shooting humans off into space, it's inherently risky. And so I'm not going to lie, I mean, I was holding my breath. I think a lot of people were, given the fact also that Virgin Galactic had a fatal accident in mm-hmm. 2014. Thankfully, it went, seemed like it went perfectly. And, Richard had his moment in space, got to float around the cabin with his crew members and then come back down and celebrate. But it was, it was really a scene and an extraordinary thing for the company, but really for Richard personally.
Well, and, it's interesting that you say that the party atmosphere. I'm a daughter of an engineer. Bloomberg listeners know this. Involved in the early space race. And, we all got up early and it was nerve-wracking because my dad would say there's so many different systems coming from so many different contractors on these things, at least from the government's perspective, that so many things could potentially go wrong, although they obviously were really careful to make sure the systems weren't, and then they had backup systems. But it is interesting to see how it's become almost like watching a movie to some extent.
Yeah, and right, a lot of people like to romanticize spaceflight, and there's a lot of hype and a lot of enthusiasm because you've got these billionaires with, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson, and it does sort of seem like the movies, but, as you and your family know, that this is, it's incredibly difficult, it's incredibly risky,
yeah.
A million things have to go right. Now, this isn't, this is a suborbital
right.
space trip. It's going just up to the edge of space and coming back down.
You sound like
it's
Jeff Bezos for a moment.
Right. It's or Elon, because Elon, he's going to orbit.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
So it's like that much, he's going Mach 25 and Richard's going Mach 3. So it's still maybe not quite as dangerous, but still it's dangerous.
Right. There's a lot of things that can happen. We know that. So, all right. So next up is what? Jeff Bezos, right?
Yeah, and on Tuesday, on July 20th, the mm-hmm. anniversary of the Apollo moon landing, and he announced that, some time ago, and then, Richard kind of beat him to the punch. He said he wasn't, Richard was going to go on a later flight for later this summer or early in the fall, and then all of a sudden moved up his flight, which obviously it angered Jeff and the people at Blue Origin, who, as you were alluding to, sort of saying, well, they're not quite going, up as high as we're going, and our windows are bigger and it's on a rocket as opposed to a space plane. But it's just sort of extraordinary that you have Blue Origin, Jeff's company, which was founded in 2000, and Virgin Galactic, which was founded in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So all these years ago, and then the founders go to space within you know, just a few days of each other. I mean, that's just wild.
You know these guys from the book you wrote, and you've talked with them. You know, what is it that we need to understand about Richard Branson? And we'll talk more. We're going to do some news, and then we'll come back and talk some more. But what do we need to understand about Richard Branson and his pursuit of this?
Well, he wants to open up space to more and more people. I mean, today there's something like 570 people who have ever been to space, and he wants to open that up. Now, like, you know, he's not opening it up for everyone just yet. It's still very expensive. We don't know how much tickets are going to cost when they reopen, but before they suspended ticket sales to Flying Virgin Galactic, they were $250,000. I think they'll come back on. You know, they've said it's going to be more expensive than that. Some analysts have estimated it could be as much as $500,000. So for like 3 or 4 minutes of weightlessness, I don't know that that's going to be in everyone's budget. But if they're able to fly more frequently and they're working on already sort of a next generation spacecraft in a fleet, and then maybe they can bring that down and send more people.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
So we've talked about Richard Branson. We've talked about Jeff Bezos. He is up next. So what's the significance, Christian? I mean, I grew up in an environment where this was just so important. It was a new world, you know, new space exploration, you know, going into the unknown and finding out so much. And then it felt like it waned, certainly here in the United States. And then now we're seeing the private sector really step up and push it. What's the significance of all of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because I think a lot of people look at these space tourism flights, and it's a lot of wealthy people, and they're like, you know, we've got problems here on Earth. Why are we spending all this money on space? But I think it's significant for a few reasons. One, in terms of exploration and expanding our knowledge and, you know, being able to go out, you know, deeper into space. If you start with space tourism, you know, Jeff Bezos talks about, you know, traditionally, I mean, really before SpaceX came along, you know, you might have a rocket company or NASA, and they might, you know, launch 12 rockets a year, right? And that's just not very much. But if these businesses, you know, coming in with being much more efficient, are launching, you know, 12 times a month, and, you know, many, many times a year, they get better, they get faster, the cost comes down, they make space travel just more accessible. I mean, not just for, you know, like space tourism, but being able to get to the moon and maybe even get to Mars. And, you know, as you mentioned, like, we went to the moon, and last time we were there was 1972, and nobody's been back. And, you know, I think NASA and the government has struggled, and you have one political, you know, the White House comes in, they say, we're going to the moon. And then another president comes in and says, no, we've been to the moon, we're going to Mars. And then, you know, then it's like, we're back to the moon. They go nowhere. And now you've got these businessmen, and they're just like, no, we got to go. We got to go now, and trying to create a business case for it.
What I wanted to ask you is, like you said, that this feels like it's a rich person's endeavor, and the people who can partake in it. And there is taxpayer money that goes into it as well. Should the public sector, should government still be involved in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So there's taxpayer money going into some of it, like SpaceX, for example. You know, they have contracts with NASA to fly cargo and supplies to the International Space Station. They have a contract to fly NASA's astronauts to the International Space Station. And they've taken that money. And yeah, I mean, they in turn have gone out and built the Falcon 9 rocket and the Dragon spacecraft, and they can use that for commercial purposes. If you ask NASA, they say, that's great. That's what we wanted. We want to help build up the industry. You know, up until now, Blue Origin has been funded, you know, largely by Jeff Bezos and his own personal fortune. He's trying to change that by winning some of these contracts. In fact, he's competing right now for a contract to build a spacecraft that would land on the moon that actually SpaceX won. And Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin, is challenging that. But I think what you're seeing is, yes, you want these public-private partnerships where NASA and the government is investing in them and getting something for it. You know, they're getting a service, whether it's you know, flying satellites to space or resupplying the space station or flying astronauts there. And then those companies turn around and invest that money in their own companies for a commercial purpose, you know, which should, in the long run, bring down the cost of the government while increasing their, you know, the private sector's capabilities, which really has grown tremendously, like in the last decade or so.
Well, and I do wonder what's kind of cool about the billionaires who are involved in this, whether it's Elon, whether it's Richard, whether it's Jeff. I mean, these are individuals who definitely do it differently and think out of the box. If you think about the impact they have had on our world, and especially in terms of disrupting things, especially when I think about Elon and even Jeff, right? I mean, retail has been transformed. The cloud, just, you know, pick your thing. And I do wonder if it's these things ultimately, all of this space exploration, right? We've all heard the stories about Tang and about Velcro. And, you know, I think it was either even Tempur-Pedic beds, right? Like all of this came out of NASA research and so on and so forth. I mean, is there something above and beyond that if we all kind of just let our minds wander and open, that the possibility by exploring space, you know, what we might find?
They certainly think so.
Am I getting too weird on you? But I just feel like this is your world. And are you talking to scientists and academics who say, wait, the reason we need to be doing this is because of X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's too weird at all. And it fits right in for like what Jeff talks about this. And he says he wants to use space to open up sort of this new economic dynamism like we had with the advent of the internet. Mm-hmm. But with the internet, like that infrastructure was in place so that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg could found Facebook from his dorm room and Jeff could, you know, start Amazon because the infrastructure was there. Like the phone lines had, you know, laid down the cable and there was this device called the credit card and Jeff could take people's money and there was the post office that could deliver the books. And so you could start an internet company from nothing, but you can't today really start a space company because it's too, the bar getting into access is just too high. It's too difficult. The barriers to entry are too hard.
Right.
And what they want to do is help build that infrastructure so that some kid in his dorm room could start a space company. And you're starting to see some of these, like, you know, we pay attention to like the billionaires and their rockets, mm-hmm. but there's a company called Planet out of San Francisco, for example, that has a fleet of satellites in space and they take, you know, an image of the entire planet every single day mm-hmm. and have this massive database of the Earth going back through time. You know, that's, you know, a viable mm-hmm. company right there that's had enormous success. So I think what they want to do is, yes, open that up for business and for science, but they need to first build the infrastructure, that sort of highway to space.
All right. So just got about 30, 40 seconds left here. What are you going to be looking out for Jeff Bezos and his flight next week?
Yeah, I mean, so it's not just Jeff and his brother who are going. We still don't know the identity of this $28 million auction winner.
Yeah.
So, you know, they auctioned off that seat and it went at $28 million.
Here, wait, I have to tell somebody, everybody, actually, it was, no, it's not me. Oh, that it were true.
Well, yes. But it's just a little crazy because if you spent $55 million, you could fly on SpaceX and spend a week on the International Space Station, but we won't get into that. The fourth seat is going to Wally Funk, who's 82 years old.
I love this.
And she was part of this group called the Mercury 13, which was a group of mm-hmm. women. And there was sort of a privately funded endeavor to train them alongside the men
right.
and to show that they were ready. And now she gets her trip to space finally after all these years.
I love that aspect of it. And it's not a week. It's actually July 20th. It's a little bit more than a week that we see Jeff go up. Christian, this was fun. Thank you so much for coming on. Christian Davenport over at the Washington Post, cover space. Check out his book, The Space Barons. That's going to do it for this Monday. Folks, get ready for bank earnings. I'm Carol Masser, and this is Bloomberg.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.